Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. We're here today with Beatrice von Schlick, and she lives in Bonn, Germany. One of the things that I've been really amazed about as I have traveled around the world and so on has been my connection with Germany. And it's not just with the people. I have really good friends and very trusted colleagues in Germany, but it's also the land in Germany. And it was the first place that I went outside of the United States that I really had a connection with the land and also with the language. And when I talk to Germans, one of the first things they say is, well, you know, German is a very difficult language to learn. And what I've gathered over the years is actually English must be the most difficult language. Beatrice is not actually German. She's French. She's had a really interesting background, lives in Germany, and speaks many languages fluently. And it's really a privilege to have you here on the show today. Beatrice, welcome.
Thank you, Phyllis. I'm very happy to be here, too.
Good. Beatrice serves Paul and I as one of our most faithful and available, which available is really important, interpreters for many of the seminars and events that we do in Europe and around the world. So I really would like to welcome Beatrice in a different context. And this time it's to be interviewed. And the precept that she has chosen to speak about today is initiation. So the first thing we're going to do is find out how she met Reiki, and I want to know what your experience was of your first initiation.
Good.
So how did you come to Reiki, Beatrice?
Well, I just happened to come to Reiki, so that was my, I think the best thing that could happen to me is that I knew nothing about Reiki. This was 20 years back. And I was going through a very, very bad spell or bad time. My husband had died, and I was sick and despaired and lost. And a girlfriend of mine told me about that there was a seminar, a workshop going on in the next town, and we should go there because, she knew the person who was giving the seminar. She trusted this person. And she said she had no idea, but we should go there. She had this feeling. And I think it was very good that I didn't know anything about it beforehand, because the next thing I happens to me is, you know, like the seminar starting, and this lady talks about Reiki and Japanese tradition. And then she says, so we are going to do the initiation now. You come to the next room, you sit on that chair, you close your eyes and you be quiet, you know, more or less, and had no clue what it meant. Mm-hmm. I got a bit scared, you know, thinking, oh, what's up? So we were four of us, it was a large group. So four of us sitting quietly in that room, which was prepared to be different. I mean, it had some kind of sacred atmosphere to it, with music and lights. And so I was a bit in shock and a bit scared the first time, because I thought, what's up? I mean, I didn't know about it, and I felt like, am I in a church or is it a sect? Should I be scared? What is she going to do to me? You know, should I be prepared? Or, yeah, so I was, and it was good that it went quickly, sort of. You know, I didn't have much time to reflect and to get too scared
and
or too
out.
Concerned. So I closed my eyes and did as I was supposed to do. And actually, that was a great experience. I could not describe it into words, but something happened. Something happened to my hands. Something happened to my whole body, to my whole constitution. And I felt, yes, I'm safe. I don't know what it is, but I'm safe.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Beautiful.
And then, you know, like as the evening was going on, also I started having these feelings in my hands.
Right.
And then we went home, and I practiced the first self-treatment. And this is where it sort of landed, like, you know, this feeling of something has happened during that initiation, something has changed, I don't feel so well, I started to see, to feel different, to feel like I'm comforted, I am in a different space. Uh-huh. So that was, you know, when we talk about relative and absolute universe, etc. So I think this was my first going into another universe and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Not, mm-hmm. Of course, not consciously, mm-hmm. but unconsciously. And that was when I fell in love with Reiki. Yes, so yeah, it's really like falling in love, like, you know, without conscious I don't know, it's like falling in another space and
falling in another space,
being held, feeling mm-hmm. loved, feeling. So that was my connection back actually to my spiritual life, or my that I had lost after my husband died.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So after he died, I had the feeling of despair, of being lost and not able to connect back to this other dimension. And mm-hmm, I got mm-hmm. very, very angry with God.
Yes,
you know, and feeling like probably didn't exist, or you know, that everything had finished with my husband, that there was no afterlife, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
went on for 2 or 3 years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So this first initiation was like a sparkle, mm-hmm. re-initiating me or re-starting me into, well, this other dimension and this other connection with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, beautiful.
A new connection.
Mm. Beautiful. So do you remember the other three initiations
yes.
then?
Yes. So actually, the first time I didn't feel too much. I was too sort of emotionally concerned, disturbed,
mm-hmm.
or so
right.
on. So I remember that, you know, like I had to put up my hands and things
right,
and so
right.
on. And I had these feelings, you know, what's up. And then, when because the group was so big, we were 20, 25, something
uh-huh.
like that. So when I went into the other room, because we were the first lot going there.
Ah.
And the others asked us, you know, what happened, etc. And the other three started describing things, you know, like they had seen colors, and one had seen I don't know what. Or, and I felt, oh God, you know, like what are they talking about? I don't feel all these things. So am I okay? Should I be different? Or are these guys normal? You know, so I started looking around the room, and then, you know, like this was what happens is that when the students were coming out of the room, there was this expectation from all the others, you know, grouping to them and saying, and you, and you, and you. And I felt during the first three initiations, actually, I didn't feel anything special.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel, you know, like, so the fourth initiation, I remember, because that time, so I was, you know, the initiation was going on, and then I felt this water falling on my head, you know, like cold water, and I felt, oh, now, okay, it's like, she's put some water. I was sure the master had put some water on my head. So when I got out, and I asked the others, so did you feel that water, and so on, but my hair was dry.
Wow.
And then, you know, and the other said, what water? What are you talking about? I said, yeah, but, you know, she poured water on our heads. So is it like the Christian baptism? What do you think? Or so? And the other said, no, I don't feel any, I didn't feel any water. So that was really, took me aback, I mean,
right.
my breath away. And I thought, okay, so did she do something different with me because I'm an unbeliever or something? So I would believe in something. I was puzzled. I was really puzzled, but then I trusted, okay, well, maybe this is something that... But I couldn't... Then I didn't talk about it anymore. And actually, I felt a bit embarrassed as the others were talking about their own experiences, etc., because, you know, I felt this is so private.
Mm.
So as I became a master, I wouldn't talk to my students beforehand, or I didn't want to hear what their experiences were.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, this is very private, keep it for yourself, be with it, and you don't have to tell anybody, take your time, etc., after the initiation, if you need some space, etc. I always felt this is very intimate.
Mm-hmm. It is very intimate.
It's very intimate, and it can be very different to everyone. And so, you know, hearing the others sort of set up some expectations.
Right.
And some, you know, like,
right.
Am I normal? Am I different? And you know, like a competition of, you know, who has the most glorious or whatever feelings or happenings. So actually, I don't talk about initiation. So I was surprised that I chose this subject now for this talk, because this is the one I talk less about.
Uh-huh.
You know. Uh-huh. But on the other one, this is the one that I feel also very connected with as an element.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's something that I really respect, and I'm privileged and honored to be able to hold.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that would never change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the symbols. I mean, the symbols
right.
also are very sacred to me,
right.
but the initiations are very, very sacred and very, yeah, special, and not to be talked too much about.
Right. Well, then what you did was you practiced your first degree for a while. So
yes.
even though you didn't feel anything in the initiation,
yeah.
somehow there was some kind of a response from your body because
Absolutely.
Of your hands,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And also because of this, my changing of mood also. I mean, so lots and lots of things went on after
mm-hmm.
the first
mm-hmm.
Degree. I started treating myself. I started, like I say, having a different approach to the, well, like the feeling, yes, I am on this earth and I will stay now on this earth.
Mm.
You know, because before that I had been thinking, you know, of do I stay here or if, it, you know, like if there's nothing after, what am I supposed to do here? You know, like there's no sense to anything.
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
so now after the first degree or after these initiations, yes, this made some, things started to make sense, a different
mm-hmm.
sense. And this feeling of always being able to connect back to this other space where I felt silence and felt
yes.
Quiet and felt silence, but also like presence.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
actually this was the beginning of a spiritual experience or a spiritual
mm-hmm.
life. And yeah, so... and also the beginning, of course, of my... path with Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this might be a little bit of a challenging question, but I wonder about the actual universal sense of initiation. It seems that we could call it Aboriginal tribes, when they do their initiation, it marks the end of a certain stage of one's life and then the beginning of another stage.
Yes.
So when we talk about initiation, which comes from this word that means to begin
mm-hmm.
again, and then, you know, in our adult life, it may be to begin another life, to
yes.
begin again, whatever words we put after to begin, and that it has... it has, in some way, a very similar feeling to what in the church is called confirmation.
Yes.
Would you say that that was true? We can be a little delicate or a little bit... I don't want to compare them, but at the same time, there is some quality, and I was thinking about your water on your head.
Yes, yes. That's right. Yes. So for me, maybe it was like a confirmation.
Uh-huh.
Because... I had had this connection before, and I remember very well, you know, like I was raised in the Catholic Church. So when I was seven, or six and a half, seven, and I had this first communion, we call
mm-hmm.
that first communion,
yeah. mm-hmm.
I felt the same. I mean, there was something also what that went on. That's something that was like a like you say, the passage, a rite?
Rite of passage.
Rite of passage. So I felt... Now I am, I'm no longer a baby. I'm not a child. You know, like
mm-hmm,
I.
Mm-hmm.
And we call that the age of reason in French.
The age of reason.
Yes,
oh,
we say 7 years old.
Uh huh.
L'âge de raison. So then you come into this other, you know, like now you you can be talked to, or the, you know, like you are considered to have something to say. Yes. Before that, you are not quite considered to have something, anything to say. So that was also this, you know. So this why I suppose it's why we do that at when we are 7 years old. You know, 1 to 7, and so,
and then later on, is there
and then
another
it's
one?
About 14.
14.
Yes. When
yeah.
I was 14, I got the second. We call that the second communion. So we call that the solemn communion.
The solemn.
Solemn. La communion solennelle. So it's more solemn. Even more.
Wow.
But I know that when I was 7, I was very also proud because I knew now, you know, like I'm a 7-year-old, like it's, and this with the, and then I was allowed to take communion, you know, from, like the adults.
Because then you can choose it.
Yes, I could choose to go and get this bread or not.
Right.
So it was like a passage of rite.
Yes.
And also empowering me into something else, you
right.
know.
So I just want to interrupt here and say that the words that she's using, just to make this clear, is that this phrase, rite of passage, is not a rite as R-I-G-H-T,
no.
which is something like what we own, but is a ceremony of passage.
A ritual.
So it's R-I-T-E.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so for...
You're right.
Yeah.
You
no,
are
you're
right.
right.
Yes.
Yeah, just to make it, like, clear.
Yes.
So that's really interesting. I never heard that before, this age of reason.
Yes.
Which is a kind of choosing. Because, you know, when people ask me, oh, what about children? Can they be initiated? And I say, well, you know, it depends on the child. Sometimes when they're 5, it's very clear that they're choosing to be initiated into Reiki, and they know that they will practice it.
Yes.
And often it's because their parents practice and so on. And for some children, they don't choose to do it until they become adults or until they are in their teens. But it's interesting that there's actually an age in there that has been, you know, marked.
Yes.
For this age of reason or the age of choice.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I suppose it's like a human...
like
belonging to the whole humanity.
Yes, exactly.
Because in many, many other traditions or cultures, as you say, there are different ages. So when you are about 13, 14, again, you can you renew your vows.
Well, you renew your vows.
Your vows, so you... and you don't have to do it, but if you know, like if you feel like, so that again was an experience for me, like a mystical experience. Also, I remember it very well. Of course, there was a preparation for that. There was a time of preparation of prayers, and also it was quite festive. You would dress all in white as a young woman, you know, and I felt so holy, actually.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and so it was so congruent, so right to do it.
And that was indicating maybe in the tribal culture a kind of passage from childhood to adulthood.
Yes, definitely.
So really interesting.
Adolescence, yes.
So I just want the listeners to know that I am not saying that Reiki initiations are like... the communions rituals that Beatrice went through as a child, but there are similarities in that there's something spiritual or sacred about them.
Yeah.
There's something about marking a passage into another way of living.
Yes.
And also that it's done by choice.
Yes. Yes.
So unless parents really push children, mostly these kinds of rituals are done by choice, and they're done in support of a kind of community. So the church is a community of itself, and in Reiki there's a community that you join.
Yes, that's
true. Yeah. So I know that a lot of people may not know this, but it feels to me like when I initiate a first degree student, there is the circle of the first degree class, but then there's a joining, maybe it's unconscious joining, of a greater community of Reiki students. So the beginners are held as beginners, and the people who have been practicing longer and longer, hold those people and hold the way open for them to keep exploring.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I see that like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, initiation. So then there was a second degree initiation.
Yes, second degree initiation, again, it's different. And actually, well, you know, like now I'm talking as the one who is the student, the one who is taking, you know. So there are also for me different dimensions.
Yeah, we'll get to the other one.
We'll get to the other one. So second degree, I felt like it was empowerment,
uh-huh.
You know, because I was given tools that I could use.
Uh-huh.
And doesn't mean that I had more power, you know, over people or something, but more ability or again, more choice
uh-huh.
to use these tools or not.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And these tools also bringing me into other dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And again, more and more even into the Reiki, for me, the Reiki energy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so it was more, instead of gathering power, it was more of an immersion process to be more immersed in the practice of Reiki.
Absolutely,
yeah?
Yes, having the ability to go deeper,
mm-hmm.
you know, with
mm-hmm.
Going deeper into my own unconscious or mm-hmm. in my own, and having this the tools to be able also to of course, to send Reiki to mm-hmm. my dear ones or to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the word empowerment sometimes, which is used also for attunement. You know, we have different vocabulary for what is initiation.
Right.
And, you know, being the person I am who likes languages, who had Latin at school, etc.
Right.
I like sometimes to watch and observe these different aspects of what it is.
Uh-huh. So
me.
Tell me about attunement then for you.
Yeah, attunement is a word that I really like. So sometimes, and depending on the culture where I'm talking, you know, like if I'm... But attunement is something that I can say in English.
Uh-huh.
And that's so because sometimes I had students from English speakers, and they could immediately relate to that because attunement is something... that has to do, of course, with tones and tunes and tuning. And sometimes, if I remember well, Mrs. Takata, when she described sometimes the energy of Reiki, she said it's something that you cannot see, it's in the air, and it's like little waves, and like you have this box with the knots, and when you turn them on, suddenly you start hearing music or hearing, you know, like the radio frequencies. So these kind of images talk to people who are more like the auditive kind of
uh-huh.
persons.
Uh-huh.
So I have students who are musicians, for instance, and when you tell them about attunements, they immediately get it. You
uh-huh.
know, like the piano being accorded,
mm-hmm.
you know, like...
Right, so where do you think, though, that the energy of this part of it that's sacred and spiritual, do you think that comes with this word attunement?
Yes.
As much as initiation?
Yes, it's different, but you know, like we are different. Every one of us is different.
Uh-huh.
We come from different cultures, and we have different approaches to reality, or more or less, you know.
Definitely so different language.
Different languages, different cultures. So some people are more like, I learned that through this neuro-linguistic programming,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn that some people are more visual, some are more auditive, some are more like kinesthetic, they like to touch.
Right.
So and so on. So like attunement actually means the same. It's for some people it means getting in into this harmony with the Reiki energy, getting into this flow of
uh-huh.
and some other. I had one, for instance. He was a Sufi master,
uh-huh.
and he also took Reiki with me. And for him, it was immediately. Uh-huh, this is something we also have. He had developed, I don't know this group. So their way of connecting with the energy was also through tunes and through like some mantras. I mean, mantra is
right.
Indian, but so these Sufi people, they also have...
Through chanting.
And each one of us apparently has her or his own tune inside. And when the tune goes off, like this can be set again back, you know, like finding back your own harmony,
tone.
Yeah. And and then, you know, like the your cells and everything in you finds the right
frequency,
yes, vibratory or frequency. So for some, it's the similar approach. And they understand that, well, for them it's like, oh yes, I know that. This is what we also do, or like what I've heard of, and this, you know, just sounds right. Mm-hmm. So this is for the people who are more auditive, maybe. And attunements can be really helpful to describe what it is, but because you cannot describe what it is, and usually I don't describe what it is, you know, what we are doing during initiation. But maybe sometimes afterwards they talk about it, or they say, you know, like, yes, or they, and some come and use these words because they've read them somewhere in a book, attunement.
Right.
And in German, I mean, I could go on and on about words, because in German you have another word called Einweihung. Einweihung is like baptism somehow. It's like getting some... because you can also say when somebody tells you something a bit secret, but or not quite secret, but then they tell you something, then you can say, oh yes, he hat mich eingeweiht, so he has informed me.
But in a different way than just telling you information.
Yes, it's a different way. It's like he passed on something to me, a context or something, and now I know about that piece. So it's also very interesting.
That is very interesting, because in my seminars and events in Germany, I always use the word initiation, and Einweihung is the interpretation.
Yes, it's the interpretation
of that word.
Initiation. Yes. So some people, even though you say, we are doing four initiations, etc., later on they come and they say, oh, you know, during the Einweihung. I had this and this experience. But that comes, of course, Einweihung comes also from a religious background again. And because Einweihung would be something, even, you know, like a boat, when you set up a boat.
Oh, when you christen a boat.
When you christen a boat and you send a bottle on it, bang. This is also an Einweihung.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, and it's funny because some people, of course, are very allergic to everything religious.
Right.
So when they hear Einweihung, they get oops. And then they start talking about Anweisung, which is directions or guidelines. So I had some students who said also, yes, and during the fourth Anweisung. And I said, it's not Anweisung. But for them, it's also like a technique. So, you know, like the... all this mystical or whatever aspect or spiritual aspect they cannot really take in. It's too scary. So they talk about, they change the word and they say Anweisung.
And so what is the German word then for attunements? Is there one, or would you use Einweihung?
No.
I thought there was another
word.
There's
probably, yes. I don't find it again now.
Einstimmung.
Yeah, exactly. Einstimmung. And Stimm is the voice. Yes, it's Einstimmung.
And so what does that mean in German? It's sort of like one voice? So
yes,
it's like
one
attunement.
Voice. Yes, it's like attunement. It's one voice, yes. It's like in, you know, getting into the same kind of harmony, maybe.
Or resonance.
Resonance. One resonance.
Which interesting.
Is, yeah,
and in French, what is it? What is it in French?
I don't know in French so much how I would say it. No,
I thought that would be right on your tip of your tongue, so to speak.
No, in French, I don't talk. I mean, this is not like something that came up actually. People would talk about, you know. There's another aspect of it, which is bénédiction, blessing.
Oh yes. Yeah.
So blessing would be also benediction. And benediction comes also from the Latin bene, good.
Yes.
And diction, you know, diction.
Yeah.
Talking.
Good talking.
So good talking.
Uh-huh.
Blessing. Yeah, uh-huh. So that's also something that some people immediately get it. You know, when you say it's like a benediction.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this they can really take in or love, or, you know, like immediately feel connected with. And for others, it would be really, oh, no, you know.
Uh-huh. So what is the French word for initiation?
Oh, the same, initiation.
Oh, okay.
The same. Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh. And in Spanish, because you speak Spanish?
Yes,
too?
Also iniciación.
Yeah?
Yes.
But then is there a word for attunement then? Do you know if they what they would use? Probably not.
No, I don't know it.
Because you don't really teach in Spanish.
I do sometimes. It happens, you know, like, uh-huh. Yes, I have some Spanish people living in where I am, or I even had some Portuguese or Brazilian.
Uh-huh.
So I talk to them in Spanish, they talk to me in Portuguese, and we just understand each other.
Yeah, that's
but then I make it simple then.
Yeah.
But it fits. I mean, it's okay.
Wonderful.
But usually, I would use iniciation, uh-huh. for myself. Uh-huh. But I see that you know that this word has some other connotations, or that the people translate it into their own language, into their own perspective.
In their own individual language.
Individual language.
Yeah.
And individual experiences. Yeah. Like as if they are more auditive and attunement.
Right.
Or if they are, or visual or something, they might be different approach.
Mm-hmm.
Like empowerment. It's not something I would say in French. You know, power. It's something really scary for the French.
Yes.
They keep saying pouvoir, oops. So this is some so this would be
like your whoops.
So empowerment, this would not work real good in France. Mm-hmm. Except if you had people who wanted to have a lot of power over others or something.
Yeah.
So it's like a scary word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
well, let's move on to your decision, or maybe it wasn't a decision, but a feeling that you wanted to be a master.
Yes, that came really quickly after after first degree. I was so enthusiastic about Reiki because it changed so much in myself. You know, I was sick also, physically sick, and I became well again. Excuse me.
Go ahead, have a drink.
Yeah, so
and we'll take a little drink break. All you people can have a drink yourselves. Be sure you drink lots of water.
Yes. Yes, it's a very good recommendation.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm very excited actually. So
good.
Yeah, so I want, you know, like it changed so much, so much. And I was so thrilled and I was so happy with Reiki that I had the feeling this should be done, you know, like this, everybody that I love also should get it.
Right.
And at that time, 20 years or 21 years back, for instance, in France, there were hardly anybody teaching.
Right.
And so I had this call, like I had the feeling, oh yes, I want to be able to go to France and teach Reiki to my family, to my friends,
mm-hmm.
and to those who would ask for it. Actually, I never really did it, but that was my first intention, was to pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you know, like there's also this word of transmission,
mm-hmm.
you know. So at first it was this mission to transport it.
Great.
But this sense of missionary or mission, I
yes.
lost very quickly.
Uh-huh.
So I quickly realized it was for myself.
Ah.
Oh, yes. But I still wanted to teach it.
Right.
You know, and also because I started treating people around me. And my dad was one of the first person I initiated. So
right.
that was also, you know, something so powerful, so life-changing. And so that confirmed also my wish. And late, I mean, and my dad was the first one who said, you will teach me. That's,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I always said, no. You know, you can go somewhere else, you can learn it somewhere else. But he kept saying, no, you're going to teach me. It was such a strong inner feeling he had. First I got into resistance and into, you know, oops, again. And then somehow I realized, yes,
mm-hmm.
I want to pass it on to
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of yes, sort of set things right again mm-hmm. between us. Mm-hmm. And that was a great gift, actually.
Beautiful gift.
Yeah, beautiful, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then you went through your preparation.
Yes.
And you, learned the initiations.
Yes.
And then you did your first class. How was that? How was that? Were you afraid you were going to forget the initiation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, yes, I was very frightened. I think some like 2 or 3 months had gone by, or 4 months in between, you know, having been taught and how to do it and doing it for the first time. And so, yes, it took quite a lot of courage and trust and to do it, because there are 4 different ones for us, and you know, not to mix them up or to, you know, and so. Yeah, and I remember that I really asked for help from above,
uh-huh.
and it happened, actually. It's sort of, once I started it, all went well.
All went well, yes.
Yeah, and even if it doesn't go well, it does go well.
Yeah, right. So,
after 17 years of teaching and initiating people, I know all goes well.
Uh-huh.
So, yes.
Wonderful.
It's such a relief.
Uh-huh. That's great. Well, it is my it's my theory, and I will put it out as a theory, that what's important for a master, there's a part of it that you mentioned this, that, you know, you gave up on the mission part
yes.
of it fairly early, but then there's this other part where at the same time it feels like as a master. Teaching is a very vital part of
yes.
this step of being a master
definitely.
In Reiki.
Yeah.
Because you stand in the energy of the initiation
mm-hmm.
and you are creating the space of initiation.
Mm.
So this particular connection that you have with Reiki, the energy, and with this understanding of initiation, I think, gives you an impulse that is not found in any other part of the practice.
That's
Would
right.
you say that was
oh,
true?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And this is, of course, it's like addictive, you know? this moment of initiation, they are so sacred for me. They are so sometimes so powerful, so I'm sometimes moved. You know, these strangers arrive, I don't know them.
Right.
And I start...
You barely learn your names.
Barely name, yes.
And then you take them
and
into the room.
I take them into the room, and they take me, or this initiation takes me into another place.
Right.
Where I feel so connected, so full of love. I mean, sometimes so... It moves me so much that I have sometimes to keep myself to myself.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't like hugging the people afterwards or things like that, because I feel like it's too intimate. I want them to leave them their space. I didn't like it when my master hugged me after the initiation, actually. I felt like that was too intimate or too, you know.
Maybe it's too social.
Yes, or too something.
Too something.
Too
familiar.
And also coming from her brain or from something, you know, like, or like a habit or something. I don't like it when it becomes like a habit or,
uh-huh.
no.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I'm so moved, you know, and I'm in some another space. And I know that some of the students are.
Right.
Sometimes for them it's really hard to come back to reality.
Right.
So at the beginning, I didn't know how to deal with that. You know, I would tell them, oh, it will take like 5 minutes. And then when I clap my hand, you open your eyes and you go to the other room, you know. And then I would clap or something, signal it was finished. And they would not open their eyes. And they had this, you know, smile on their face. And you know, and I was waiting and waiting. And I thought, did they hear me or... You know what
right.
I mean? But they were just so happy where they were, and not wanting to come back. So at first I didn't really know how to deal with that, and sometimes it happened to me. you know, like feeling so much love and connection to this actually even stupid or not sympathetic, not very pleasant person from, you know, like this personality person didn't attract me at all. But, you know, the initiation put me in such another space where there was another connection with this person, like from soul to soul or from, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
That I was completely flabbergasted, or this is English, I guess.
Yes.
Completely astonished, or
right,
you know, how come? How right. come there is so much connection or love uh-huh. or yeah, feeling one or something with somebody right. unknown and not even spiritual or something. So sometimes I have these question marks in my head, you know, like. Sometimes initiations are so strong and so different,
right?
That I feel like, oh, what does it mean? Does it mean this person is, you know, like more Reiki person than another? And then after 5 or 10 years, I discover no, this person, you know.
So it's not an indication of how.
Not always.
No. How connected they are with Reiki, but it's an interesting question. Like,
yes.
Why? Why is it that when you do initiate some people that you yourself have such a strong
yes.
experience? And yes. it's one of the mysteries.
It's a mystery. It's yeah. absolutely a mystery for me.
Right. So how would you describe your responsibilities as an initiator?
Yes, I would describe that they are very high, actually. Uh-huh. Yes, I feel like... Well, somehow it's not me doing anything, you know, like I'm only a vehicle or an instrument for
uh-huh.
for divine grace or something. I don't know, I can't describe what it is.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, yeah, I feel very humble and very honored to do it. And I know it's not me doing something to them. This is for me completely clear. And on the other hand, I know it does something to them. I mean, it or he, whatever. So, yes, so it's one of the aspects, of course, you know, the different aspects of being a teacher or master
right.
or something.
Right.
So being an initiator is, I think, an enormous gift.
Uh-huh.
Because every time I come also into this energy, and sometimes I have so much energy and so much joy and so much, you know, I feel like I could, they say, uproot trees.
Uh-huh.
I did that in Germany. You know? Go and up, you know, I go and cut wood or something. And this is, or sometimes, you know, I have a little cold and I don't feel too good and I feel, oh God, and, you know, maybe I should cancel the seminar. And then I start workshop and the initiations and I'm cured. I mean, I feel completely
yeah.
well again.
Often I've been really in pretty bad shape sometimes and mm. then I step into the initiation room and it's fine.
Absolutely.
And then I step out of the class
yeah.
and I'm sick again.
yeah.
It is amazing.
It is amazing.
It
sometimes
is amazing.
I have a cold and I think, oh, I hope I'm not going to cough, you know,
yeah.
to initiate.
Yeah.
And no.
Yeah,
it's yes, it's
it's amazing,
but it's only one aspect, of course. But it's for me a yes, like a what makes maybe a Reiki different from other massage technique or something. This is another dimension,
uh-huh.
completely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I feel that students come. And I see them sitting in front of me with their eyes closed, mm. and as I tell people, well, I could do anything I wanted to them. Mm. If I wanted to draw out a sword and cut their heads off, mm. it would be done, and they would never know, right?
Yes.
But I don't. And so what happens for me in that moment is that it puts me in a place of such trust
yes.
from the students that I in myself, there's something in myself that comes up to match that trust
mm-hmm. yeah.
and to be trustworthy.
Yes.
And these are the two elements that I feel like I must prepare myself
mm-hmm.
to come to that trustworthy place. And it's not about fasting before classes or being holy or anything. But there is some, I think we all as masters have our own ritual, kind of the things we eat or don't eat, hopefully resting, being rested. You know, there are all these things that we want to do to prepare, so to speak, for being in the class. It's a very interesting discussion because it borders on the edge of mystery for me, or the unknown.
Yeah.
So this, I want to come to this point before we sort of our hour is up, and that is that I don't know how you describe this to your students, but to my students, what I say to them is, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I just know how to do it. And I don't even know if that statement is true because I learned the practice from my grandmother. This is what I do. And to try to explain it is impossible because I have no idea how to articulate what happens, much less I don't have any context, any language for what I'm doing.
No, it's the same. So, I tried, you know, at the beginning with my brain, I tried to figure out what does it mean, you know, all the four ones. And of course, you know, being me, at that time I used to read books. So I was looking and searching for answers in books. And I thought, oh, I got it. You know, this is, has something to do with the chakras and opening chakras and blah, blah, blah. And then later, I mean, the longer I realized it has nothing, I mean, this is, it has nothing to do with that. It's not something explainable, and each, with every person is different. Mm-hmm. As I say, sometimes I have the feeling the energy goes right through, and sometimes it sort of takes, you know, like third or fourth initiation till I have some feeling.
Right.
So it's so, so different. It's but I know it works. So I, the only thing I tell them is, you know, like you say, I have no explanation, and you know, and I don't want to explain anything, because you know, how can you explain? We are like babies. I say, like sometimes I tell them, just imagine you are blind, and then I describe you a sunset or something. You know, how, you know,
right?
Or imagine you are born deaf, and how can I describe Beethoven's or Bach or, you know, Mozart to you? I can of course do some similarities and but no, I cannot. So the only thing you do is just, you know, stand in that place, feel it, and if you don't feel anything, it's okay. You
right.
know, like so I don't encourage them to talk about this experience with each other. Of course they do.
Of course they do.
But I try to keep it private and
That's a great way to look at this place we call mystery, because I think that in our lives we often use the word mystery to mean not knowable or to mean something that's far beyond us. But I liked your examples of being able to describe a sunset to someone who's blind, who's not ever seen the color orange mm-hmm. or purple or blue or green, and to be able to hold that as a, you know, as being okay, that there are some things in our universe that we just cannot explain, and there are some things that we just cannot describe accurately to another person, but we can experience it together. And I think that is a really beautiful thing about this practice, is that there's always this kind of element of what we might call mystery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes another question that I have for myself is this transmission of energy.
Uh-huh.
You know, like when you ask me about your responsibility as an initiator or something,
right.
This is something that's always also been in the back of my mind. Sometimes I'm a bit shy to talk about that because I feel like, is it a judgment or not?
Uh-huh.
But you know, sometimes when my students, sometimes they are, when we have gatherings,
mm-hmm.
of course there are other students from other masters coming to that place, to my place. But you know, sometimes I'm at a table and somebody would put their hands on me and I have no idea who it is. But then I recognize, oh, it's very familiar. This is, you know, like home or something. I know something that connects and resonates in me,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I open my eyes and realize it's Yes, either one of my students or one who, yes, some very similar energy. And sometimes I feel different energy. So sometimes I ask myself, does this energy have different colors? Does it have different, what makes it? Because I recognize the energy of my students, also belonging to mine, being so close. So so sometimes it's for me also a mystery. Is it like a transmission energetically of what do I have to do with that, I'm being
like
an instrument.
Is there some kind of not just transmission of the energy of Reiki, but is there some personalization?
Yes, I wonder. I wonder. I know there is a spiritual lineage, I know there is a blood lineage, and I know there is like an initiation lineage.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I know. I feel that.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I see other masters being initiated, but sometimes I just recognize, oh yes, this is this initiation lineage.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's only a little touch of different color, different hues. It's not that it's, it's the same and that this, and it's the same and different.
That brings us to paradox, which is really wonderful.
Yes.
Because I think as I was a child, and I think this is also true for our society in general, from my viewpoint, and that is that paradox is something to be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's confusing.
Yes,
it is. It's and there's no right and wrong. You can't choose one being better than the other.
No.
Because and they all always seem to be in conflict or in argument with each other.
Mm.
So there is this paradoxical situation of knowing that universal life energy has no boundaries.
Mm.
And in fact, we all carry the same energy, because otherwise we wouldn't be alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one piece. But on the other hand, this experience of you being able to sense familiarity and so on is good. So this paradoxical situation allows our mind to expand to include both of those things.
Absolutely.
And for me, that is one of the most amazing qualities of any practice, is to stretch our mind and our being so that these paradoxical situations become, acceptable.
Acceptable, yeah.
Acceptable. and daily.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and daily.
That's right. And not scary and not, right and wrong or
right.
This polarity
mm-hmm.
or dualities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's,
yeah.
I love them too. Oops.
We have very creaky chairs. So is there something, we're right to the last minutes of
yes.
our time, and I'm just wondering if there's something else that has caught your attention to talk about with initiation.
Well, there would be a lot more, actually. a lot more to say or to partake with you or others. And sometimes, like I say, there are things that are too intimate, or
uh-huh.
sometimes things that are too, I cannot tell, can't tell anybody about that.
Right.
Because then what do they, they might think, I'm crazy, or these judgments. And they also sometimes there are fun stories about initiation,
right.
Of course.
Well, of course.
Yes. So.
But, let's explore this one step, just for interest's sake. So as we were talking about paradox, it's like there is this interesting thing that happens with especially with new first degree students, where there's a shyness and there's this deep understanding that what has happened is inexplicable.
Yeah.
And then there's this other part where there are the physical sensations or the physical things that happen during initiation, but there's a change that has happened that goes deeper than that. So our tendency to not hold things in, but to actually give things out,
yeah.
is a bit paradoxical, because on one hand it feels like there is this intimacy that we've shared, and now they're just going out and talking about it to anybody.
Yes.
But it's actually not just to anybody, it's mostly to the other students.
Yes.
So that's one thing that's really important to understand, that the Reiki class itself allows a kind of comradeship, so that there is some place to talk about the unknown,
absolutely.
And that everybody else has had the experience.
Yeah.
So for me, this is another great gift of this practice, is that this is not based on people understanding from their minds, mm-hmm. but it's understanding from their experience.
Yes, absolutely.
And the initiation, mm-hmm. which is, you know, kind of the doorway to all mystery, is this place of knowing that we've had the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been a different experience on the outside, but on the inside it was the same. And that particular experience binds us together as human beings in a way that nothing else does.
Yes.
Would you say that's true?
I would say, yeah, absolutely. It's
beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And it's such a honor, you know, to have students coming and learning and getting these initiations from us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, very humbling and very nurturing, very, also financially, of course.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a joke. But it's, and I can understand, you know, like, some people would like to have more, so they would like to come. Sometimes they say, could you give me, one of these blessings again?
Oh, right.
Because being in that space, it's so special, so empowering also.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, no, I mean, it's not something that I do.
But the interesting thing is that as we treat ourselves,
yeah.
I feel that we actually come to a recreation of
yes.
that space of initiation.
Yes.
Eventually.
Yes, eventually. Also, when I treat someone else, I come into that space also.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Very quickly now.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes time.
That takes time.
Yeah, it's this space of connection.
Well, thank you very much, Beatrice.
Oh, you're welcome,
for this hour. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you to you, because also deepening this, it's very good for me to be able to articulate also sometimes
yes.
something that I have inside.
Yes, thank you.
Well,
listeners, it's time where our hour is over. And for those of you who have been initiated, I really encourage you to, during your next self-treatment, just go back to that place and remember and see how your Reiki practice is and how it's filled in the blanks. So this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.